Hello, welcome to Wombats and Music. This is your host, Harry Baia. I bring you Wombats and Music Monday nights at 7 and Saturday afternoons at 1 from WEHC at Emory and Henry University and WISE in Wise, Virginia. Wombats and Music is my chance each week to pick out songs that I think are extra special, and also each week to put in something odd and different, a non-commercial, not a commercial recording, a reading, a story. And I call those things wombats, and I do have a wombat for you today. We're going to start off the show with The Drinking Gourd from New Christy Minstrels. During the late 50s and the 60s, there was something called the Folk Music Revival. And in one of the groups that was very popular then was the New Christy Minstrels. They were founded in 1961, and they flourished throughout the 60s. And this is one of their songs, The Drinking Gourd.
Muddy road to freedom.
That was The Drinking Gourd by the New Christy Minstrels. Next up is Time After Time. Cyndi Lauper had a big hit with this in 1983, and it's hard to ever beat her recording. So this is just a different recording. This is Jonah Baker, and her version of Time After Time is different. And I like to have variety, and it's a nice recording. Time After Time.
Lying in my bed, I hear the clock ticking, think of you. Caught up in circles, confusion is nothing new.
Flashback.
Almost left behind.
Suitcase of memories.
time after. Sometimes you picture me, I'm walking too far ahead. You're calling to me, I can't hear what you have said. Then you say, go slow, and I fall behind. The second hand unwind.
If you're lost, you can look and you will find.
Has turned to gray, watching through windows. You're wondering if I'm okay.
Secrets stolen
from deep inside,
and the drum beats out of time. If you're lost, you can look and you will find.
That was Time After Time by Jonah Baker. Next up, we're going back into the bluegrass bag. This is Salt Creek by Molly Tuttle and Friends. It's an instrumental piece, and I think there are at least three musicians, a guitar, and I think two mandolins, but it could be two guitars, I don't know, just various stringed instruments, and they are just having a wonderful time doing solo riffs. Molly Tuttle is the lead, but the others must be pretty good too. Salt Creek.
Thank you.
That was Salt Creek by Molly Tuttle, and I found the names of the other two musicians. It's Sierra Hull, who I know is a mandolin player, and Sarah Jarost. And I think she's a mandolin player too, but I'm sure about Sierra Hull. So that was Salt Creek. And next up is Willie Nelson with Reasons to Quit. There's so many reasons to quit doing things you shouldn't do. Willie puts his heart into it. Reasons to Quit.
Reasons to quit. The smoke and booze don't do me like before. And I'm hardly ever sober. My old friends don't come around much anymore. Reasons to quit. The low is always lower than the high. And the reasons to quit don't outnumber all the reasons why. So we keep smoking and we keep drinking, having fun and never thinking, laughing at price tag that we pay. And we keep roaring down the fast lane like two young men feeling no pain. And the reason for quitting's getting bigger each day. Reasons to quit. I can't afford the habit all the time. I need to be sober. I need to write some new songs that will rhyme. Reasons to quit. They have no rhyme or reason when you're high. Reasons to quit don't outnumber all the reasons why.
Reasons to Quit by Willie Nelson. Next up is Wayfaring Stranger by Rhiannon Giddens and Iron and Wine. Rhiannon Giddens has a voice that just wraps around me and brings me into her story. And Wayfaring Stranger is certainly a story of a sort. And she just pulls me in. Listen, see what you think. Rhiannon Giddens.
I am a poor wayfaring stranger, traveling through this world alone. There is no sickness, toil, or danger in that fair land to which I go. I'm going home to see my mother. I'm going home no more to roam. I'm just going over Jordan. I'm just going over home. I know dark clouds will gather around me. I know my way is rough and steep. The golden fields lie just before me, where the redeemed shall ever sleep. I'm going home to see my mother. I'm going home no more to roam. I'm just going.
You were just listening to Wayfaring Stranger by Rhiannon Giddens and Iron Wine. The next song is Try to Remember by the Brothers Four. I play a number of versions of this song on the show. I love the words. And to me, it's one of those things that speaks to the unconscious. Try to remember something that was not a verbal experience, it was a completely awareness experience. That's what this song asks you to do. And it does it with magic. How do you use words to have somebody experience something that's not words? Well, we all know we do it. And this song does it well, I think. Try to Remember by the Brothers Four.
When love was an ember above. it's nice to remember all who you know. The snow will fall deep in December. It's nice to remember the fire of September that made us mellow. Deep in December, our hearts should remember and follow.
That was Try to Remember by the Brothers Four. Recently, I've been introducing some songs, calling them Enlightenment songs. And I'm messing with your minds. I can't resist it. I don't really think anyone's going to get enlightened, but I do think it's possible. And what the heck? So here's another one, Dance Upon This Earth by the Byrne Sisters. I think if I or you or anyone could really integrate this into their soul, it would be a new world. Dance Upon This Earth by the Byrne Sisters.
I'm gonna dance upon this earth, and I'm gonna find joy in all this madness.
Living here now, feeling free.
That was the Burns Sisters with Dance Upon This Earth. Anyone get enlightened? Let me know. Next comes up one that's more about acceptance. I came up with a quote recently. This is original to me. I claim it. Try not to get too upset over the way things are. You don't have a choice, and neither does it. So that's my quote. And that was Dance Upon This Earth, and now comes somebody saying, yeah, things don't go the way I want sometimes, and it pushes me off my center, but I hang in there, and I'm still enjoying the ride. That's what I hear Johnny Cash saying. Any old wind that blows.
Lord, she's restless, like cotton candy clouds that sail the day, slow and free, and she possesses a mind that can't resign itself to stay for long with me. Though I've tried and tried to keep her tied and satisfied until she really needs me, yes I do. But when that certain look comes on her face, I can't replace it, and she leaves me. She's a butterfly in mid-July who just can't wait to try her brand new wings on brand new things. And she needs no rhyme or reason when she goes. Her mind is on what lies beyond that wall of blue horizon, I suppose. And heaven knows, she'll go sailing off on any old wind that blows. Yes, she will, yes, she will. She'll go sailing off on any old wind that blows. I know she needs me about as much as I need someone else, which I don't. And if need be, I swear someday I'll up and leave myself, which I won't. Even if she loved another man, I'd understand it more than I do. But I know the only reason that she ever has for leaving is she wants to. She's a butterfly in mid-July who just can't wait to try her brand new wings on brand new things. And she needs no rhyme or reason when she goes. Her mind is on what lies beyond that wall of blue horizon, I suppose. And heaven knows, she'll go sailing off on any old wind that blows.
That was Any Old Wind That Blows by Johnny Cash. And now it's time to tell you who we are and what we're doing. You're listening to Wombats and Music, and I'm your host, Harry Vaya. I bring you this show Monday nights at 7 and Saturday afternoons at 1 from WEHC in Emory and Henry University, and that's 90.7 on your dial, and WISC in Wise, Virginia. And it's my chance each week to play for you the kind of music that you've been listening to and put in strange things in the middle of the show that I call Wombats. And guess what? It's Wombat time. This is a recording I made from the second half of Chapter 5 of Alice in Wonderland. And I played the first half last week. So this is me reading from Alice in Wonderland, the second half of Chapter 5. In a previous show, I read to you from Alice in Wonderland. I read to you the first part of Chapter 5, Advice from a Caterpillar. At the end of that, Alice and the caterpillar were discussing the fact that she was only 3 inches tall and didn't think it very good, and the caterpillar thought 3 inches was just fine. So we're going to resume the conversation as the caterpillar soon leaves the scene. So, the caterpillar said, "You'll get used to it in time," and put the hookah into its mouth, began smoking again. This time Alice waited patiently until it chose to speak again. In a minute or two, the caterpillar took the hookah out of its mouth and yawned once or twice and shook itself. Then it got down off the mushroom and crawled away in the grass, merely remarking as it went, "One side will make you grow taller, and the other will make you grow shorter." "One side of what? The other side of what?" thought Alice to herself. "Of the mushroom," said the caterpillar, just as if she had asked it aloud, and in another moment it was out of sight. Alice remained looking thoughtfully at the mushroom for a moment, trying to make out which were the two sides of it, and as it was perfectly round, she found this a very difficult question. However, at last she stretched her arm around it as far as they would go and broke off a bit of the edge with each hand. "And now, which is which?" she said to herself, and nibbled a little bit of the right-hand bit to try the effect. The next moment she felt a violent blow beneath her chin. It had struck her foot. She was a good deal frightened by this very sudden change, but she felt that there was no time to be lost, as she was shrinking rapidly, so she set to work at once to eat some of the other bit. Her chin was pressed so closely against her foot that there was hardly room to open her mouth, but she did it at last and managed to swallow a morsel of the left-hand bit. "Come, my head's free at last," said Alice in a tone of delight, which changed into alarm in another moment when she found that her shoulders were nowhere to be found. All she could see when she looked down was an immense length of neck, which seemed to rise like a stalk out of a sea of green leaves that lay far below her. "What can all that green stuff be?" said Alice. "And where have my shoulders got to? And oh, my poor hands! And how is it I can't see you?" She was moving them about as she spoke, but no result seemed to follow, except a little shaking among the distant green leaves. And there seemed to be no chance of getting her hands up to her head. She tried to get her head down to them, and was delighted to find that her neck would bend about easily in any direction, like a serpent. She had succeeded in curving it down into a graceful zigzag, and was going to dive in among the leaves, which she found to be nothing but the tops of trees under which she had been wandering, when a sharp hiss made her draw back in a hurry. A large pigeon had flown into her face and was beating her violently with its wing. "Serpent!" screamed the pigeon. "I'm not a serpent," said Alice indignantly. "Let me alone." "Serpent, I say again," repeated the pigeon, but in a more subdued tone, and added with a kind of sob, "I've tried every way, and nothing seems to soothe them." "I haven't the least idea what you're talking about," said Alice. "I've tried the roots of trees, I've tried banks, and I've tried hedges," the pigeons went on, without attending to her, "but those serpents, there is no pleasing them." Alice was more and more puzzled, but she thought there was no use in saying anything more till the pigeon had finished. "And if it wasn't trouble enough hatching the eggs," said the pigeon, "but I must be on the lookout for serpents night and day. Why, I haven't had a wink of sleep for these 3 weeks." "I'm very sorry you've been annoyed," said Alice, who was beginning to see its meaning. "And just as I'd taken the highest tree in the wood," continued the pigeon, raising its voice to a shriek, "and just as I was thinking I should be free of them at last, they must needs come wiggling down from the sky. Oh, serpent!" "But I'm not a serpent, I tell you," said Alice. "Well, what are you?" said the pigeon. "I can see you're trying to invent something." I'm a little girl," said Alice, rather doubtfully, as she remembered the number of changes she'd gone through that day. "A likely story indeed," said the pigeon, in a tone of the deepest contempt. I've seen a good many little girls in my time, but never one with such a neck as that. No, no, you're a serpent, and there's no use denying it. I suppose you'll be telling me next that you've never tasted an egg. I have tasted eggs, certainly, said Alice, who was a very truthful child. But little girls eat eggs quite as much as serpents do, you know. I don't believe it, said the pigeon. But if they do, why then, they're a kind of serpent, that's all I can say. This was such a new idea to Alice that she was quite silent for a minute or two, which gave the pigeon the opportunity of adding, You're looking for eggs. I know that well enough. And what does it matter to me whether you're a little girl or a serpent? It matters a good deal to me, said Alice hastily, but I'm not looking for eggs. And if it, as it happens, and if I was, I shouldn't want yours. I don't like them raw. Well, be off then, said the pigeon in a sulky tone as it settled down again into its nest. Alice crouched down among the trees as well as she could, for her neck kept getting entangled among the branches, and every now and then she had to stop and untwist it. After a while, she remembered that she still held the pieces of mushroom in her hands, and she set to work very carefully, nibbling first at one and then at the other, and growing sometimes taller and sometimes shorter, until she had succeeded in bringing herself down to her usual height. It was so long since she had been anything near the right size that it felt quite strange at first, but she got used to it in a few minutes and began talking to herself as usual. Come, there's half my plan done now. How puzzling all these changes are. I'm never sure where I'm going to be from one minute to another. However, I've got back to my right size. The next thing is to get into that beautiful garden. How is that to be done, I wonder? And as she said this, she came suddenly upon an open place with a little house in it about 4 feet high. Whoever lives there, thought Alice, it'll never do to come upon them this size. Why, I should frighten them out of their wits. So she began nibbling at the right-hand bit again, and did not venture to go near the house till she had brought herself down to 9 inches high. And that ends the reading from Alice in Wonderland, Chapter 5, Advice from a Caterpillar. Today's Wombat. That was the second half of Chapter 5 from Alice in Wonderland, Alice and the Caterpillar, Part 2. Well, that's our station break and our wombat. And now we're ready to go on something really mellow. This is Hidden Road. That's the name of this piece of music. And the two artists are Nora Jones and Eric Clapton. Both whom of are masters or maestros, genius level performers. So to hear what they do together is kind of fun. I don't think they're trying to outdo each other. I think they're just complimenting each other, and both of them are kind of world famous musicians. So this is it, and it is called Hidden Road. Oh, what the heck, I'll add in. Maybe it's another one of these Enlightenment songs. I'm not sure. I'll decide after I hear it.
Roasted beans are grinding, filling up the morning air. Barista pulls the handles with a practiced, artful care. Porcelain is clinking on the wooden corner bar. Patrons reading papers come. Traveling from afar, steam is rising upward in a delicate ballet, waking up the neighborhood.
breaking day. Sitting in the coffee shadows, watching silhouettes appear. Conversations buzzing softly, murmurs in my ear. Espresso brings a bitter comfort, awakening the mind. Observing all the fascinating habits of mankind.
Mugs are leaving circles on the table.
Complicated days. stormy weather brings a shelter we can share, wrapping us in comfort, breathing heavy air, falling down like velvet rain, soft upon the ground, drowning out the madness with a peaceful rushing sound. Puddles form a mirror for the trees so lush and green, calmest precipitation that our eyes have ever seen. Crackling, burning oak and pine, sipping on a vintage glass of ruby-colored wine. Blankets pull us closer as the thunder starts to roll. Nature plays a symphony that resonates the soul. Stormy weather brings a shelter we can share, wrapping us in comfort, breathing heavy air. Falling down like velvet rain, soft upon the ground, drowning out the madness with a peaceful rushing sound. Puddles form a mirror for the trees so lush and green, calmest precipitation that our eyes have ever seen.
Dusty trails of a cluttered mind.
Drip, drop, steady on the glass, watching moments slowly pass. Falling down like velvet rain, soft upon the ground, drowning out the madness with a peaceful rushing sound. Puddles form a mirror for the trees so lush and green, calmest precipitation that our eyes have ever seen. Gentle showers ending, leaving freshness in the breeze, quiet droplets falling from the branches of the trees.
That more than lived up to my hopes, and yes, I will say that is an enlightenment song. If I listen to that over intensely, who knows, I'll be a different person next week when I come in, but I'm going to do it, because that really is quite enchanting. That was Norah Jones and Eric Clapton with Hidden Road. Well, next comes up a Near Wombat. This is Evie Mayer and Gene Farnworth, both of whom are friends of mine. And we were at a Pine Woods camp together in Plymouth, Massachusetts. And at the campers' concert, Evie and Gene played this song, Eco Eco, with some friends. I was in the front row and I loved it. So they really have the rhythm. So here we go. Eco Eco by Evie Mayer and Gene Farnworth.
Thank you.
was Ico, Ico by Evie Mayer and Gene Farnsworth. And I always enjoyed their music because it was good music and fun to sing. But this particular number, listening to their rhythms, I think they're both brilliant. Evie and Gene. Okay, moving on. Moving on to the next song. The next song is It Is Well With My Soul by Calvin Wilson Road. And this is yet another enlightenment song on my show. This one can definitely do it. And it's a Christian hymn. So, It Is Well With My Soul.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say,
it is well with my soul. It is well.
Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul.
My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Shall be saved, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll,
the trumpet shall sound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well.
That was Calvin Wilson Road, a group singing It Is Well With My Soul. And that gives me a chance to send a message out to my audience. That song not only speaks to me, it speaks for me. And so I give that message to you, It Is Well With My Soul. And now it's time to close the show. And I always close the show by having an audience participation time. And that time is coming up right now. So, you ready? Please join me in celebrating most joyously our being here at all. Goodbye.